This is Twit.
CNET posted an article this week that had all of the biggest tech stories so far. I guess we're about halfway through the year. It's time for Prime Day and time for all the tech news this far. What tops the list this year?
So I mean, Cambridge Analytica is probably the easiest answer, right? And of course, you know, it just plays back into what we were just talking about. I mean, this has been one of the biggest scandals. And I think it underscores, frankly, not just the issues that Facebook faces, but also the fraying relationship between Silicon Valley and Washington, D.C. You know, there was this honeymoon period for decades where it was basically hands-off regulation and the tech industry kind of did whatever it wanted. And, you know, within reason, there were a couple of efforts where, you know, the Microsoft going with the DOJ for a while. But for the most part, people were left alone. And now we're starting to see the rhetoric really changing. And a lot of it kind of came to the front and to the fore with the Cambridge Analytica scandal. And I think that we're starting to see a larger kind of waking up within the population of what tech is doing with our information.
So today in California, net neutrality is apparently making a comeback, but that's at a state level. But net neutrality has been big in the news and going back and forth. What state is net neutrality in right now?
It's in a little bit of a flux, right? And we've written about this on CNET a lot, which is part of why Ajit Pai came to us and did an op-ed with us the day that net neutrality was kind of over. But, you know, I think that right now the hard part is that a number of states are saying, look, we want net neutrality, including California, although, you know, we can debate how that's played out so far. But a number of states are saying, look, we want some form of this because whether or not the FCC believes that this needs to be done, we believe it does. And so we're seeing a number of states try and push this issue, but there's also seems to be a resistance from the federal government to see it happen. And so it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, does the law eventually become, you know, that the actual Congress has to vote on it? That was part of the debate too, by the way, was that whether or not Congress should be forced to vote on this instead of the FCC having a rule on it. And so I think that, you know, we're in that point where, okay, well, there's been a step backwards for people who are really big fans of net neutrality, but I think that there's much more debate happening and we're going to see much more push from people who are proponents of it in the next couple of months and years.
A lot of these stories, what they have in common is the politics, the overlapping of politics
yes.
and technology.
Absolutely.
You know, it's, you know, people really don't like, a lot of people don't like it when tech reporters talk about politics, but there's so much overlap. The ZTE story is another big one so far. Tell us what's going on with that right now.
Yeah, so you may remember ZTE was basically placed, you know, got hit by sanctions because they were the government said that they were selling products to Iran, which was against U.S. sanction laws. And so what ended up happening was that it looked like for a while ZTE was going to get shut down, and then President Trump and the administration stepped in to actually save them. And it became its own meme and conversation about, you know, saving Chinese jobs for a company that specifically has been criticized by our own government and our own security agencies and whatnot over its practices. And so it just raises these larger issues that I think really underscores where the tech industry is at this point, is that, you know, it's become such a part of our lives that it's everywhere. And of course, we're seeing so much more politics play into it.
Mm-hmm. And then Tesla, how's Tesla's year going so far?
It's quite a bit of a hill and valley type situation, right? I mean, the Model 3 came out, got really good reviews, then there were mixed reviews, then there's all sorts of other stuff going on. And not to mention, you've got Elon Musk himself, who's become quite the Twitterer, and he always was, but it became part of a conversation topic about the kind of people who follow him and how when he would criticize journalists, which he's done more of recently, and he actually even started a company or whatever you want to call it to criticize journalists and to hold them accountable in his point of view, that that the people who follow him started attacking the journalists. And we saw all sorts of really nasty things happening. And so there's a lot of weirdness happening around Tesla right now that I think is very different from what the company was like a year ago in terms of how it's seen in the public eye. And when you consider that the company does not do that much marketing, it primarily relies, it said this in its own filings with the SEC, it relies heavily on goodwill with the press and word of mouth marketing through reviews, that when that stuff starts to turn on them, it's a really dangerous thing for them. And I think that's what you're seeing a reaction to. Mm-hmm.
Well, Charles in our chat room said that the problem with tech reporters talking about politics is that we're all liberal militants. So as a liberal militant, I heard Laurel. Did you hear Yanny or did you hear Laurel?
So I was definitely in the Laurel camp. And look, it took until you saw that New York Times slider thing they had, right, which I thought was the most genius thing anyone did, where they actually had a slider on their website where you could actually make it hear Yanny or Laurel, depending on where you sit on the spectrum, and it would force it. And it was the only time I ever heard it. But I'm also a weirdo. I saw a black dress. I didn't see a blue one. So I'm going to be in the minority, it seems, for a long time.
Well, yeah, I just want that to end. I was kind of, I have to say, a little sad, Ian, that showed up in your piece, because I don't want to hear about it anymore. And it's like, it's like people really want to read so much into it. And I just feel like it's about the speaker, right? Like, it's what kind of speaker you're listening to.
Oh, I disagree. And here's why people want to read about it, by the way. I think people love stories about the human condition. Mm. I think people love seeing these little things that just really emphasize how we're different but the same, right? And I personally love those stories too. I think that's why it went viral even within my own family. And so that's really what people are gleaming on, is that, you know, there are some times where, you know, our tribal politics and, you know, all these things kind of get in the way, but, you know, everyone at one point can get involved. Even the Speaker of the House came down on Yanny and Laurel, and everyone laughed when he did. And I think that underscores just kind of, you know, it brings us all together in a weird way and shows how we and our bodies are different from how we perceive them sometimes. That's really fun.
You've convinced me. I'm just ready for it to be something else. Like, you know, it can be a blue dress again or whatever it is.
Well, at one point, these things tire out, and I will totally agree with you there. But I love it when these things happen. I think they're really fun, personally.
Well, Ian, thank you so much for joining us. Ian Scher is an executive editor at CNET News. You can find him at Ian Scher. That's I-A-N-S-H-E-R-R on Twitter. Thanks so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
Take care.